God has put us in the earth to be conduits of prayer.
Uncommon Favor, Part 12. Uncommon Prayer, Part 3.
Well, thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word. We welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us online at brothersoftheword.com or social media, Facebook. We're delighted to have you. Thank you for tuning in and streaming us live. Always a wonderful pleasure and delight to have you to join us. Well, we'd like to share just a little humor. Once again, I'm just sharing some letters that some children wrote to God. And the first little girl, she writes a letter and she says, "Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm going to fix my brother." And little Dennis, he wrote, he said, "Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far do you go back?" And little Joyce, she wrote, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Little Johnny wrote, he said, "Dear God, how come you didn't invent any new animals lately? We still have just all the old ones." Little Jenny, she wrote, "Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There is nothing good in there now." Little Tom wrote, he said, "Dear God, why is Sunday school on Sunday? I thought it was supposed to be our day of rest." And little Bruce wrote, he prayed, he said, "Dear God, please send me a pony. I have never asked for anything before. You can look it up." Praise God. Well, we are sharing the final part of Uncommon Favor, which is Part 12, Uncommon Favor, Part 12, and we actually, last couple of sessions, we got over into Uncommon Prayer, so this will be Uncommon Prayer, Part 3, in the series of Uncommon Favor, Part 12. And just to read our text over in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Verse 11, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." So we're talking about Uncommon Prayer, Part 3. We see here that favor comes on us when we have been faithful in unseen places. And so that's a message to us, that when you're faithful in unseen places, it sets you up for the favor of God. Daniel was faithful. He was faithful where he wasn't seen, and the favor of God was on him where he was seen. And so favor comes on us when we are faithful in unseen places. I just love the book of Daniel. There are so many powerful truths and nuggets that we glean from the book of Daniel. And here we see the standard of his prayer life, which speaks volumes to us. It was no accident that this man was willing to risk his life for prayer. That was saying a bold statement to us today, the importance of prayer, the priority that we should place on prayer, the place that prayer should have in our lives, and you know how powerful prayer is. And it stated to us in such a way that this man was willing to risk his life to just protect this privilege, this relationship that he had with God through prayer. And so it just reminds us of the wonderful privilege that we have from God. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift from God to us. Prayer is a gift. But many of us, it's an unopened gift. We haven't opened that gift. But prayer is a gift. God has given us a wonderful gift. And we've left that gift still in the wrapper. We haven't unwrapped it and fully enjoyed its pleasures. But prayer is a wonderful gift. And Daniel, this man was willing to risk his life because he was enjoying the gift of prayer so much. And it's a message to us of the priority and the privilege, the gift that prayer is to be enjoyed, that we're able to delight ourselves in our Heavenly Father and enjoy beautiful communication and relationship with Him, and something that we can take pleasure in and really delight ourselves. You know, Psalms 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord. So let us know that God's to be delighted in. We're to enjoy Him, to enjoy His company, to enjoy His fellowship, to enjoy Him. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So prayer is something that is meant to be enjoyed, a relationship that's meant to be enjoyed. And this relationship is develop through communication. Communication develops relationships. And so we have the wonderful privilege of developing our relationship with God through prayer. We said that here we learn that you should pray daily and throughout the day. So that's what Daniel did. He prayed daily and throughout the day. So we learned that principle, pray daily and throughout the day. We should choose a regular place. Daniel prayed in this same place three times a day. We should choose a regular place. We should choose a regular time. He prayed three times a day. I'm assuming it was morning, afternoon, and evening. I could be wrong, but that's just my assumption. But he prayed three times a day. And so we should pray daily and throughout the day. It's a message of having quiet time, of having the solitary time with God. And it is so, so powerful. I'm going to share the benefits of prayer in this session. I like something that, before we get into the benefits of prayer, but I like something that John Dalrymple said. He says, the truth is, we only learn to pray all the time, everywhere, after we have resolutely set about praying some of the time somewhere. So we have to first establish regular times of prayer. We first establish a regular discipline, a regular schedule, and then you build upon that. And so the outflow of your prayer throughout the day will be the spillover effect from those set times, those certain times that you have set apart. And then it spills over throughout the day, because you simply continue the conversation that you began in your set time. You continue that throughout the day, and it becomes a wonderful thing. We find that this example of prayer, not only in Daniel's life, but as we shared in Jesus' life, but it was a demonstration that it's a habit of prayer. It's a life of prayer. It's an attitude of prayer. And so it's something that we do regularly, something that we do daily. William Law said, he who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of a holy and happy life. And then we're reminded over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we get that next step, which is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So we have the set times of prayer, but then we're admonished to pray without ceasing. And that's simply the continual conversation. That means you're just praying all the time. That means you are weaving God in. You're acknowledging Him in all your ways. You're bringing Him into all your activities. You're bringing Him into your space, into your places, into your activities. You're bringing Him into the events of your life. You're allowing God to experience life with you. You are experiencing life with God. And so we invite him into our day. We invite him into our day. So many people live their day without acknowledging God. But no, he wants to be invited. I love what someone said this. They say, it's good to say grace before a meal, but it's better to say grace over any activity. Grace before a ball game. Grace before a movie. Grace before the opera. Grace before a tennis match. Grace before a round of golf. Grace before the ballet. Grace before a business meeting. Grace before a workout. And if you go to Ringo, you really need to say grace before that workout. But grace, you say grace, so prayer is not something we just do over a meal. You pray over any activity. You treat every activity as if it's a meal. The way we are trained to say our grace over our food, say your grace over every activity, every encounter, everything that you do, everywhere you go. We interweave, we invite God, and that's acknowledging him. Proverbs chapter 3, in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. So it's always acknowledging God. It's saying, God, you're with me. You're part of my day. You're part of this. I want you to be a part of this event. Lord, I want you to be a part of this activity. I'm acknowledging your presence. I'm acknowledging your power. You are with me. And I don't take that for granted. Father, I honor your wisdom. I honor your strength. I honor your love. I honor your grace and your presence. And so we acknowledge him in all our ways. We acknowledge him. So that's that continual conversation. You're inviting God to be a part of all your activities, to experience life together with God, experiencing life with God. We don't have to experience life alone. We experience life with God. Someone asked Smith Wigglesworth, they said, Smith, do you pray long? He said, no, I don't pray long. He said, I never pray longer than 5 minutes, but I never go longer than 5 minutes without praying. So those were short prayers, but he kept praying them all throughout the day. It was continual conversation, inviting God to be a part of all of our activities, all the parts of our daily lives. Someone said, to see anyone is to pray. To see anyone is to pray. When we pass a stranger, that's an opportunity for prayer. Under our breath, we can say, Father, bless them. And if by chance they don't know you, introduce yourself to them. Let somebody cross their path that they'll listen to, where they can get to know you and be introduced to you and receive you. So to see anyone is to pray. You know, I may see someone that looks like they may be struggling. You know, somebody maybe with a walker or with a cane or struggling with kids. And, you know, if it's out of place to physically help them, you can always say a prayer. You can always say, Father, just heal them. Father, just give them a little relief. Father, bless them. You can always pray for anyone. To see anyone is to pray. To see anyone is to pray. To see anyone. So when you have this heart of prayer, you're praying all the time, walking through my neighborhood. Oh, what a wonderful time it is to pray. To pray for all my neighbors as I pass their houses. I pray for my neighbors and I pray for their protection. I pray for their health. I pray for their families. I pray for their jobs. I pray for their well-being. And I always pray and say, Father, if they don't know you, let them come to know you. I pray for someone to cross their path that they'll listen to and you'll be introduced to them and they'll receive you and know your love and your goodness and your grace. To walk is to pray. To walk is to pray. To walk is to pray. We have this wonderful privilege of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. It's very similar. In fact, if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 18, if you look at those three verses, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. The prayer is the center of that, and that's why prayer is the center verse. Prayer is the center of that, because when you're praying without ceasing, you can now rejoice evermore, and you can give thanks in everything. And that comes out of a heart of prayer. So prayer is right in the middle because it's the focal point. Because when you pray without ceasing, you have a heart full of joy. You can rejoice evermore, and in everything, you have a heart of gratitude. So it all stems with prayer. But if you haven't prayed, it's hard to rejoice. It's hard to give thanks when you haven't prayed because prayer is the central part of our lives. And the devil really fights you. He fights you hard to keep you from praying because he knows that if he can stop you from praying, that stops everything, that you're powerless, that you're going to succumb to anything he throws at you. So he'll do everything and anything to stop you from praying. He'll make you busy. He'll throw all kind of distractions. He'll keep you going. He'll bring other desires and pursuits. He'll bring all these things. His ultimate goal is to keep you out of prayer. Because if he keeps you out of prayer, he keeps you out of God's power. Oh, man. So he knows the power of prayer. He knows the power of consistent prayer. He knows the power of that. And so I love that, just like we are to pray without ceasing, and then it goes on and says, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And so it's a continual conversation. Whether you're driving, whether you're working, whether you are recreating, whether you're about to go to sleep, whether you're waking up, it's a continual conversation with God. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Listen, someone said this about prayer that says, we can change a nation if thousands of us would constantly throw a cloak of prayer around everyone in our circle of nearness. If we all just prayed for everyone that we came into contact with, just under our breath, we just prayed, we would be covering the nation in prayer. If enough of us did it, if enough of us just prayed for one another under our breath, we would be cloaking the nation in prayer. He goes on to say that units of prayer combined like drops of water make an ocean which defies resistance. And so each one of us is like just a drop of prayer, just a drop. But if enough drops come together, it turns into an ocean, a flood of prayer that can't be resisted. And so we have the opportunity to pray for one another, to pray for our coworkers, to pray for our family, to pray for our neighbors, to pray for our church, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our president, to pray for our police departments, to pray for our military, to pray for our hospitals, our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare workers, to pray to cover our nation in prayer. To cover our nation in prayer. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. That's the apple of God's eye. That's his holy land. And we are to pray. The scripture says, you prosper for praying for Jerusalem. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. We pray. God has put us in the earth to be conduits of prayer. And then in prayer, there's a time of listening in prayer. That's a time of listening in prayer. We listen in prayer. When you pray, you're not just talking. There should be time where you just be quiet. And now you just soak in prayer. You sit in prayer. You stay in prayer. Where you're not in a rush. This may be the most important part of prayer. I like something that Serene Kierkegaard said. She said that a man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is listening. And so honestly, the most important part of prayer might just be sitting in his presence, just sitting quietly. What we don't understand is we're being touched by Almighty God. We're being filled with Almighty God. It's a byproduct of being with God. God rubs off on you. It's hard to explain it, but it's a byproduct of being with Him. He rubs off on you. He rubs off on you. I remember this was years ago. I was probably in my early 20s. And I know I still look like I'm in my 20s, but this was years ago. I was in my early 20s. And a buddy of mine and myself, we would go to this pool hall. We would go to this pool hall that was near my house. And we didn't play pool, but we played video games. And they had this boxing video game, and we just loved this game. So we would go as often as we could, two or three times a week, to play this boxing game. And I noticed that every time I took my clothes off, I smelled like smoke. And I'm not a smoker. I never have smoked, but I smelled like smoke because I was in this pool hall that was filled with smoke. And it was rubbing off on me because I was spending time there. And so even though I wasn't a smoker, by default, I smelled like a smoker. And that's the way it is with God. When you're just in His presence, God's going to rub off on you. And you're not going to know exactly what it is, but you're going to sense His presence. You're going to sense His power. You're going to sense His anointing. You're going to sense His faith. You're going to sense His peace. You're going to sense His joy. You're going to sense His love. God is rubbing off on you because He is all of those things. And it's no accident that you come out of prayer and you're able to withstand. You have more courage. You're more peaceful. You're more joyful. You're more loving. You're more like God is what it is. God is rubbed off on you when we spend time in prayer. And so it's so powerful. But anyway, I was trying to share some of the benefits of prayer, and I just shared one or two of them. He rubs off on you. He rubs off on you. That's one of the benefits of prayer. Let me share just a few benefits, and then I'll close for the day. First benefit is we get to know God better, intimately. We get to experience Him. We get to be filled with Him. We get to express our love, receive His love. Saint Richard said, he says, prayer allows us to know Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, and follow Him more nearly. So prayer allows us to experience God, to know Him more intimately. Number two, we experience more peace and more joy when we pray. Number three, we trust God more. It's a benefit of prayer. We trust God more. You're not frazzled. You're not at your wit's end. Fellowship is the mother of faith. There is something about being with God that it adds courage to your heart. There's a scripture over in the book of Psalms, I believe it's chapter 27 or chapter 30, somewhere right around in those chapters, between 27 and 30. But it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He'll strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's something, courage comes into you from being around God. All of a sudden, you're no longer afraid, because the essence and the presence of God Himself is now in you. He's in you in a strong form. And you're not afraid. You're not afraid. That rubs off on you from being with God. Then number four, we develop a strong spirit, which makes it easier to say no to ungodly temptation, easier to say yes to God's will, His way. Number five, we receive more grace. That's the benefit of prayer. We receive more grace because prayer is an act of humility. When you pray, you're saying, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. Prayer is an act of humility. And the Bible says He gives more grace to the humble. And so we receive grace when we pray. Number six, the sixth benefit of prayer is we have better relationships when we pray. We're kinder, we're more considerate, we're more loving, we repent, we forgive. All of these things are easier when we pray because we're like God. He rubs off on us. Number seven, the seventh benefit of prayer is we influence others to pray when we pray. There have been many times when I've been on my knees praying and one of my kids will ask, can I come pray with you? We influence others to pray when we pray. Number eight, prayer makes you more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Makes you more sensitive. More often than not, I would say 9 out of 10 times, I don't hear from God while I pray. I normally hear from God while I'm going around my day. But it's the time I spend in prayer that sensitizes my spirit to be able to hear God's voice even when I'm not in prayer. So He'll speak throughout the day, but it's because I had spent time in prayer. So prayer makes us more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, tunes your spirit so you have a better reception to God's voice. Number 9, prayer enables us to have wonderful results. In other words, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And we're talking about Daniel. Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den as a result of his prayer life. And it's a sign to us to say, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. The Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, if you'll be with me when you're not in the lion's den, I'll be with you when you are. And that's what happened to Daniel. Daniel was with him when he wasn't in the lion's den. God was with him when he was. Praise God. So prayer enables us to have wonderful results. God answers prayer. And he is happy to do it. He's happy to do it. God's happy to answer prayer. He's happy to answer our prayer. And number 10, this is the final benefit I wanted to share. Prayer actually energizes us. It ministers life to us. It ministers life to us. There are some times you could be dog tired. And after spending 30 minutes, an hour in prayer, man, you come out refreshed. Well, what happened? The life of God went into you. The life of God went into your spirit. The life of God went into your body. It actually energizes us. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Something happens when we tap into God's divine life, his energy, his spirit. It actually enlivens our physical flesh. So you're actually energized. So there's a physical benefit of energy. You're energized. You're enlivened. You're enlivened. God refreshes you. I could take you through 6 scriptures right now to show you how God refreshes his people. He refreshes us. The book of Acts talks about the times of refreshing that comes out of the presence of the Lord. The book of Isaiah talks about this is that refreshing. There's Zephaniah 3:17 says, you're renewed in my love. So I can take you through about 6 or 7 scriptures that talks about the refreshing that comes out of God's presence. So we are energized. Being with God ministers life to us. Praise God. Aren't those some wonderful benefits? Just that one alone is enough. Praise God. Man, it's worth it to pray just to get the energy. Just to get the energy. Just to get the energy. Man. Oh, you'd be surprised, man. The number of times I was just dog tired and spent a little time in prayer, man. And you just come out refreshed. You come out feeling so good and you feel so alive and energized. Well, he enlivens us. He enlivens us. You are spirit beings. You live in a body. And spirit-to-spirit contact, it overflows into the body because this is the house you live in. And so there's an effect on your physical flesh. Even though God's a spirit, he contacts your spirit, it overflows into the physical flesh and it begins to affect your flesh. And it's all through Scripture. So that's one of the benefits. That's one of the benefits of prayer. Praise God. Man, it's just so wonderful to know that God's happy to answer our prayer. He loves to answer our prayer. He loves to. He loves to. It's a joy and a delight to him. I wish I could just take you through all the scriptures to show you how eager, how he loves and delights in answering our prayer. He loves to do it. He loves to do it. He loves to do it. My little girl came to me one day and she said, Dad, could you take me? I forgot what she wanted. She wanted me to take her somewhere to get it. And I said, sure, I love to. I'm happy to do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. There's nothing else I would rather do. I wanted to do it. That's the way God is with us. He wants to answer our prayer. What is it I wouldn't do for my little girl? He wants to. He loves to answer our prayer. She just asked. And I was more eager to do it than she was even to ask. I wanted to. It was my pleasure, it's my joy, it's my delight. God's eager to answer our prayers. He loves to answer the prayers of his people. And when you delight in him and spend time with him in prayer, it becomes even easier and easier and easier. He'll start doing things for you before you can even ask. Before you can even ask, you'll start seeing things happen in your life. He loves to. He loves to. Praise God. Amen. Well, stand to your feet and we love you so much. We appreciate you so much for coming out and spending time with us. And I just pray that God's uncommon favor continually rest on your life. His uncommon favor. You are special. You're chosen. You are His. He's in you. Jesus died for you. You are His. He loves you so much. His favor is on your life. And I know you may go through things sometimes where it feels like nothing's happening. May feel like my prayers aren't being answered. May feel like life never will get better. Why is it so tough? Why is it so hard? Why am I struggling so much? It's just one thing after. I know life feels like that sometimes. I know it feels like that sometimes. But I just want you to know that God hears your prayers. He hears your prayers and He sees your tears. He's mindful of you. You stay with Him. You stay with Him and God will turn things around in your life. You make Him first. You put Him first place in your life and trust your life with Him. He'll turn your life around. He'll turn your life around. He'll turn your life around. Amen. Amen. Those of you watching by television, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can listen to this entire series absolutely free of charge. Uncommon favor, uncommon prayer, absolutely free of charge. You can also email it to a friend. Thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part 12 of the series titled Uncommon Favor, subtitled Uncommon Prayer, Part 3, by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 7919. That's 7919. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 7919 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.